Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy, and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Everyone, welcome to Too Scary Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, so I watch them and I tell you about them. But before we get into this week's movie, did anything scary happen to us this week in our real lives?
Henley, I vote you go first. How about that?
Because I always put you on the chopping block. I'm always like, Emily has something. So something scary that happened to me this week that's actually just ongoing. And I apologize in advance. I really thought about whether or not to talk about this in the podcast. And you know what? Fucking going to go for it and talk about it.
Oh, I'm excited.
I'm scared.
Okay, so I have a new form of birth control called Nexplanon that they surgically implant into your arm, which I just want to say that was like undersold to me by my doctor. Like they did not
just a quick
really
put it inside your arm.
Yeah. She was kind of like, she was like, oh, we just like insert it into your arm. It's like no big deal, whatever. But like, no, it was like, fuck. It was like really intense. Like it hurt really badly when they put it in my arm.
Oh my God.
I don't know. Whatever. So that being said, they told me before this would happen, they were like, you probably won't ever get your period, but there's a chance. There's a chance that you also just might have it all the time. And I gotta tell you guys, I fucking have it all the fucking time.
No, Henley, that's so horrible. That is the scariest thing we've probably ever shared in these check-ins.
That's the most real scary thing I've ever heard.
And it's horrible because also I have to get it removed. I have to like go back to the doctor.
No one wants to go to the doctor. You shouldn't be bleeding that much. It's like, we got to make this not the case.
Yeah, no, it's like, and it's just a pain. It's just a pain in the ass. Like, it's so fucking annoying. And I know that like I need to schedule a doctor's appointment, go back, like do the whole thing. But like, it's been COVID and like, you don't want to go to the doctor right now in New York. And like, I have a 6 month old and like, it's hard to like do anything. And so I've just been living with a constant period for
Jesus
for
fucking
weeks
Christ.
Now and
that's hell.
It's hell on earth. It is hell.
I'm so sorry.
And I feel shitty. Like it's not just like I like don't feel good. I don't feel good. I like feel tired and I feel cranky.
Yeah, your
and
hormones
I feel
are going fucking crazy.
So emotional. Like I'll just get so emotional about absolutely nothing. I mean,
that's the thing. It's like a period is meant as a lot of things. And I feel like this is not acknowledged enough that it's like, everyone's like, oh my God, pain and bleeding. That's true. Hey, we're talking about it on the podcast. I feel like we've done this podcast for 2 years and we don't talk about periods hardly ever. So you know what? You know what?
It's time.
It's sometimes overdue. It's happening. But also it's your whole body. It's your whole existence. Your hormones go crazy. It affects the way you think, the way you feel. It's the way your skin, it's like fucking everything. And we just act like it is the most normal shit that could ever happen. God, man, it's crazy. Henley, I'm so sorry.
It's really okay. And I've brought this up to you guys a couple times, but just to like give a little example of how emotional I am. I know I keep bringing this up. I text you guys about it. I referenced it earlier, but we watched Black Widow last night, two nights ago. And there's a scene in the beginning where the children are in shipping containers and they're about to be like shipped off to some like super intense military training where they're going to be turned into like super weapons or whatever. And I like lost it. I was so upset for them. I was so sad. I was feeling all the feelings. I was in that shipping container with those children. Like I was like out of control. It was a Marvel movie. Like, come on, get out of here. Anyway, so I can't live my life like this and I'm going to get it fixed, but I just want everyone to know, all the women out there, if you're thinking about getting Nexplanon implanted in your arm, like DM me because I have thoughts. Feelings.
I think they could probably guess what the thoughts are.
Oh God, Henley. Oh no. I was rewatching, because you guys know how I refuse to watch anything new pretty much, because like my anxiety brain lately has just been like, don't attach yourself to anything new that you might like. So I just rewatched other things that I've seen already 1,000 times. So I was rewatching season 2 of Fleabag, and God, that monologue that woman gives to her, and they're at the bar. It's after the like woman in business award, and she talks about how women's lives are constantly pain. That like we're born into pain. We get pain once a month for our whole lives. There's all, I was running through my head as you were talking, Henley, of like, oh my God, it's just like perpetual pain and discomfort and just dealing with it forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say except yes.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's nothing good.
There's nothing else to it.
There's nothing rewarding. No good side. No good side. Okay, wait, what about you guys? Tell me about the scary things that happened to you.
Well, after that, it's going to be pale in comparison.
Did you make too much soup?
Yeah, what's your soup levels like? I didn't make any soup this week.
You know, I did make some soup, now that you mention it. But that's not what I'm going to talk about. It's not very exciting what I'm going to talk about. Well, my cat's turned 6. Passage of time is scary.
Happy birthday, boys.
Happy birthday to my boys, my sons, my beautiful sons. And I became a citizen of the United States.
Pretty scary.
That was crazy. But I'm going to talk about something much less important than both of those things.
Okay.
Which is that a new trend for me is that I'm starting to fall asleep in movies, and I've never done that before.
Oh, no.
I feel like I built part of my personality around like, I can't fall asleep in a movie because I'm too engaged, and it just like my brain can't shut off because I'm just like, something's happening. I need to follow it through to the end.
Wow.
And I don't know. I fell asleep in The Matrix Resurrections in the movie theater.
Sammy, you did not tell me this.
Because I was embarrassed. I couldn't tell anybody.
Thank you for your honesty and your bravery.
I fell asleep. I saw Parallel Mothers yesterday. Fell asleep in that.
They're good movies. In the movie theater, you're falling asleep. Because that's another element to it, that you're falling asleep in public, which is crazy.
Yes, it's crazy. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it just once, it's like maybe whatever, but
you were too tired.
It's happened a couple times now. I fell asleep in Yellow Jackets, which is a show that I really like, that usually I find very engaging. And so it's like, not that these things are boring. It's just like a development in my brain. And so I knew people in like high school and whatever that like would have to have TV on to be able to fall asleep. And I always thought it was really crazy. But I think like whatever is happening in their brains is now happening in mine, where there's something like meditative about it. And I'm just like, okay, well, I'm lulled to sleep by it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not thrilled by this development.
Wow.
I think you're feeling, you're like in your safe place. You're like doing the thing you love the most. Like, you love going to the movie theater so much.
But
and you're
I
want to
be awake for it.
How long are you falling asleep for also?
Not long.
Okay.
And how long into the movie?
Usually around the halfway point.
Interesting.
I fell asleep in a movie called Drive My Car, which, to be fair, was the full 3 hours long. And it's really slow. But That one I probably fell asleep for. I only fall asleep for about 5 minutes, and then I kind of get a second wind and can see it through to the end. But
wow, maybe it's just you see more movies than anyone I know. Maybe it's just that your brain is like, hey, we're gonna need to use some of this time. Like, you see so many movies that at a certain point I gotta get mine in, and so I'm gonna make you sleep for a little bit. So many movies.
Movie power nap. I don't know. I don't like it. So I thought I would just tell you guys.
I'm so sorry.
It's scary to me.
It might just be a phase, Sammy. It might just be a phase.
I hope
so.
It
might just be a phase.
I hope so.
It's a phase. And that's okay. That's okay.
Thank you.
Otherwise, you're going to be like my grandmother, Joni. She would fucking fall asleep everywhere and snore so loudly. And one time she visited my college, and she came to see like the big production of the like college play that they were putting on, which was Hamlet, and Caroline was in it. And my grandmother fucking fell asleep and snored so loudly.
Oh no.
So loudly. And I wasn't sitting near her. I was sitting far away from her.
Related to her must have been, though, right? Like,
I can't remember. I feel like she was sitting, like, we got there late and she was had to sit in like a handicap spot or something. So I couldn't like sit right next to her. I was like, God damn it. So Sammy,
I can't be Aunt Joni. I can't.
No, Grandma Joni, to be fair.
Grandma Joni.
But still.
Wow.
All right, Emily, what's scary in your
life?
Okay,
mine is also body related.
Okay.
And it's that I think maybe I have tinnitus. Is that how you say it?
Tinnitus.
Is it tinnitus or is it tinnitus?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know what it's called, but I think that I have it.
Tinnitus sounds more right to me.
Tinnitus?
This is reminding me of when you guys made fun of me for saying ratatouille.
Ratatouille. So this thing has been happening to me lately. And I think it's related to I play at night noise, like rain sounds. And I think it is related somehow to the pitch of the rain sounds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm zeroing in on this. Here's what it is. This happens to me sometimes as I'm falling asleep, and then sometimes when I wake up in the morning, where I will hear, and I've just always thought it's outside my window, a sound every 30 seconds that sounds like really, really faint wind chimes for like a second. Just like a little like ding-ding-ding. Like not that chimey, but that like sort. It's just like... This is something like that.
Like a glass, you know, when you do on a champagne glass kind of thing?
More like the ding of like hitting the, yes.
Okay.
Dings. mm-hmm. But it's really quiet. And I've always just thought it's like something out in my neighborhood that when I'm like falling asleep, I sometimes have a hard time falling asleep, and I'm hearing it and I get fixated on it and I can't fall asleep. But I am moving to a new apartment, which is probably going to be the scary thing I talk about for the next like 2 months. But until then, we'll just. So I thought I had the other night was like, well, at least I'm moving and I won't hear those fucking chimes anymore. And then this morning when I woke up in what will be my new apartment, I heard the fucking chimes in the same like space apart. They sound the same. And here's the thing. They don't sound like they're in my head. It really sounds like it's outside.
Oh God.
But it's like, it was the same one. It's the same sound. It's the same thing. So I started Googling this morning, like what hearing wind chimes that are far away, like what is and what I saw on Reddit, some person posted this story that like if you hear wind chimes, don't look out the window. It's a sign that like someone's there to kill you. But then another person, there's a lot of things. If you look this up, people think that hearing wind chimes that aren't around is like a sign that your angels are near you.
Well, that's nice.
Which is nice, but I was also like, but it's fucking annoying and I can't sleep when I hear it. And so it's like, I don't want, but it is also, so then I turned my rain sounds off this morning during the Googling and I didn't hear it anymore. And I was like, I think
it's the rain.
The pitch of it is doing something in my ears, mm-hmm. brain? Is that how it works? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
I hope that's it.
I'm going to explore it.
Why don't you send me these rain sounds? What if it is actually literally in the rain sounds? Because sometimes I'll put on a rain mix.
That's like and definitely be it, Emily. It's in the fucking rain sounds.
Can I tell you what? I never once considered that that was.
Emily, that's fucking what it is. It's in the rain sounds. Of course that's what it is.
It's really in the rain sounds.
It must be in the rain sounds because I've listened to some rain sounds where there's a foreign sound and I'm like, I can't sleep because of the non-rain aspect of this particular rain sound.
Sound. Wait, I thought I was assuming the rain sounds were off by the time you were hearing this.
Oh,
no,
my God.
No.
Well, we solved it. Hey, it's not so scary anymore.
I'm crying. This is
why we get together.
I never once considered.
You know what? When we put our heads together, we can solve anything.
This is
you
why.
Guys.
This is why we need community. This is why we need community. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
What does that say about me that I was like, well, I got this ailment? Oh my God. Okay. You know what? I feel great. I feel so good.
Oh man. I'm yeah. Ready. Like a weight lifted.
Oh my God.
You don't
you
have tinnitus or tinnitus, whichever one it was. You don't have it either way.
I don't have it. I just am playing a sound that I hear. Oh my God.
Your body is doing the right thing by hearing the sound.
I hear the sound. Okay, so great.
Great.
I like how
right.
I like how we were more willing to believe angels. Angels.
I'm telling you, I've been thinking about this for so long and I've never considered ever that it was in the sound.
It's either angels or tinnitus.
I'm crying too, Emily. Oh, this
I can't
is good.
Even express oh, the my way God. That I feel right now. Okay. Oh my right. God. Let's do what we came here to
let's
do.
Let's get down okay, to business.
Let's do what we came here to do. Mm-hmm. This week's movie that we are talking about is Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Came out in 1988. Directed by Stephen Chiodo. Written by Charles Chiodo, Stephen Chiodo, and Edward Chiodo.
Any relation?
No, just a coincidence. Pure coincidence. Starring Grant Kramer, Suzanne Snyder, and John Allen Nelson. And it is available to stream on HBO Max.
Woohoo! Oh my God. And we I'm so delighted. We are joined this week by a guest to talk about this movie with us. If you don't already love him, you're gonna. Oscar Montoya!
Woo! Hi! Emily! I can't! I can't!
Oscar, I'm not well!
I can't. I can't believe it!
Oscar, what do you think? Angels? Angels?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Reddit is right for once. It's angels. It's angels.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
Oscar, how are you?
I'm doing great.
I'm glad you were here for this. Of all people, I really am. I'm so glad. I'm so glad to share this with you. Oscar, did anything scary happen to you this week? How's your body? What's going on?
My body's great, but actually the scary thing that's happening to me is very related to yours, Emily, because I also use auditory help to fall asleep because I have a very hard time sleeping. I don't ever sleep. So what I've done is I do the sleep, the rain, the storm sounds, but also I've developed a fondness for YouTube has a whole bunch of these where they're like specifically playing oldies in the next room while it's raining outside.
Oh my God.
I've gotten into that.
That's great.
That niche. So like it's like someone's turning on the radio and it's like 1935 or something. And also there's a rainstorm happening, but the things aren't happening in the room you're sleeping in. It's happening next door. So it's
oh,
that like
I love
muffled.
That.
Yeah. And that's been very helpful for me.
That
sleeping.
Is genius. Oh, my
God. Because it's like I think I need to hear music or something because I used to just listen to music to fall asleep, which is weird because the only way I listen to music is by hitting shuffle. on when I had an iPod, but on my Spotify, I hit shuffle. So, you know, so there's some random stuff that shows up and I'm like, oh, whoa, this is it's a metal band. It's a Necrogoblicon. OK, yeah. I can't fall asleep with this. So anyway, so I'm always on the lookout of things to help me fall asleep or things to calm me down. And someone sent me a mukbang video.
Oh, God.
And, for those of you who don't know, mukbang is like when people eat copious amounts of food, and it's just like weird ASMR. And I've always laughed at ASMR. For me, like, that's a territory where I'm like, that's a little too weird for me. Especially like the. I don't know if y'all listen to ASMR, but there's one in particular that makes me laugh very, very, very much, which is an Australian guy who looks exactly like Chris Hemsworth. He's the guy who played Thor in the Marvel movies.
Chris Hemsworth. Yeah.
He looks just like him, but he does ASMRs where he's like mean to you. So he's like a flight attendant who's like, oh, you're being a really big dummy right now. Like, just like constantly. But there's one video where he's dressed up as the genie in Disney's Aladdin.
Appropriate.
So he's like in blue, blue paint, just being mean to you. He's asking you to make wishes. And he's like, come on, hurry up. I don't have all day. You know, it's very funny. But to me, that doesn't calm me. It makes me laugh, you know?
Uh-huh.
But then someone sent me this mukbang video and I was like, this is too odd. But here's the scary thing. I can't stop watching mukbangs.
Oh no, you're hooked.
And it's gotten to the point where, you know, on my Instagram, all the For You sort of things are embarrassingly.
Yeah, they know. They figured it out.
Mukbangs. And I never expected to be that kind of person. I never expected to, get enjoyment out of people just like chewing food softly. But I guess I am. I don't know. There's one that's very funny. It's literally a mouth that's like has eyes. And it does a mukbang, like it eats with its mouth, but it makes it's dubbed with like people actually eating. It's very strange, but I love it.
Wow.
So I'm scared of the person I've become, essentially, is what I'm trying to say.
Life surprises you. Life surprises you. I think it's okay. This is like the exact opposite. So I have watched mukbang videos. I'm so intrigued by the fact that they're so popular, but it's like I have misophonia, which is a real thing, you guys, where like certain noises really fucking...
Well, we'll be the judge.
Yeah.
It might just be angels, actually. So
it might be angels. It might be angels. And like people chewing right next to me, really, actually. Actually, here's the thing. If one of you guys was going to chew next to me, I'd probably be fine. It's really like Tim or my parents... If they're chewing right next to me in a quiet room.
And that's a disorder. This is a thing that is diagnosable.
Yes, wait, have you not heard of misophonia?
No, I have, but I feel like if it's related just to your spouse or your parents, it's something else.
That's a good point. No, here's the thing is I probably would feel it with you guys, but I would overcome it.
It wouldn't like trigger you.
Mm. I wouldn't like ever be like, Emily, like, we can't be in the same room right now. Like, it's not that severe. You know what I mean?
Right.
Is it the way that they specifically chew food that you don't like? Are they loud chewers?
It's like, well, okay. So
no, it's probably that you're just more comfortable to tell them to move.
Yeah. Or like, chewing. Be like, oh, it's specifically it's when we're watching TV. If we're like watching a TV show, especially one where I'm like really invested and want to know what happens, all I can tune into is them chewing food and it really distracts me. And Tim eats so much at night. Like he's like insane how much he eats.
Drag
like it takes him a solid.
Drag him.
To eat dinner, it takes him like 50 solid minutes. So we're talking like one full episode of Station 11. We're talking one full episode of Mayor of Easttown. You know what I mean? Like, I can't deal with that.
Yeah.
So
that's tough.
Anyway, this is like not to sidetrack into my misophonia.
No. No, it's interesting because if I were probably with Tim, I'd be like, yeah, Cool. This is great. I'm just gonna fall asleep right now if you don't mind. Is that cool?
So cozy. So comfy.
It's so
and cozy.
Exactly.
Wait, Oscar, so you like scary movies, right? Do you like them?
Love scary movies. I love them. Yes. I'm like Sammy. I love scary movies and I enjoy just watching movies. Sammy, are you on Letterboxd?
I am. I recently just kind of got.
Maybe because I'm very into that. I'm very into what are my friends watching?
Yeah, I just recently followed my first friend. I didn't even know that was an aspect of it. And so, yes, yeah. I'm getting into it.
Are you big
on
the reviews? Writing the reviews?
I'm not writing reviews, but I'm giving them a star rating.
Gotcha.
That's a good read situation, but for movies?
Yes.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Cool. Yes. Yes. I am what you would call a heavy consumer of media. You know, all I do is consume. I don't really make anything. I don't make art. I consume art. So and by art, I mean garbage. So, yeah. So I will watch anything. I have a high tolerance of garbage. I seek it out. You've had Betsy Sidara on the podcast, and her and I have bonded over just really being attracted to, you know, lowbrow, bottom of the barrel sort of media. Mm-hmm. We love it. We're here for it. We stan it, you know. But yes, yeah. Specifically horror movies. It's that I grew up watching horror movies. I remember my first horror movie was watching The Howling at age 4. And that was a huge moment for me. And ever since, I was fascinated by horror movies and I just watched it nonstop. It's all I watched as a child.
I don't even know what The Howling is.
Werewolf movie.
Makes sense.
It's probably one of the most iconic werewolf movies that have been made, I think. It's an 80s movie. But yes, it's great. A lot of great practical effects. The monster makeup of the werewolf is incredible. Sammy, have you seen The Howling?
No, I haven't.
It's fantastic. I recommend it.
I gotta see it.
Yeah,
it's
great.
I gotta see it.
So I've been conditioned to watch all of the very gory, violent. I grew up watching all these gory stuff. However, yep. This is an insight to how I was as a child. I would love watching the grossest decapitations and brains being smushed and be so in it. But if a girl took off her top or if I saw a naked body, I would be like, ew, gross. I would be so uncomfortable watching nudity or when people would make out in these horror movies, because obviously they go hand in hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they go hand in hand. If you're horny, mm-hmm. you're gonna die.
Exactly. You can't die if you're not horny, you know?
Yeah.
So I would be, that's what used to gross me out a lot, was just the nudity. I remember I wouldn't watch Ren and Stimpy cartoons because they would show their butts, and I was just so offended. Yeah,
I was so mm-mm. funny.
Being offended by butts, I really love that.
And now I think butts are the most hilarious thing. So there
butts
you go.
Butts are amazing. Butts are so funny.
So funny.
We just did on it for a bonus episode. We just did The Visit, and lot of butts.
Of
butts.
Yeah.
And it's
fantastic.
Fun.
Absolutely, that's the takeaway of The Visit.
The butts. It's a butt movie.
For you, what's the scary, is there a scary movie you watched that you were legitimately scared by?
Yeah, so it's tough because I've been sort of desensitized of watching. I think The Exorcist is, I think, the scariest movie ever made. I think it's grounded in a way that feels real. It's about the psychology of the horror rather than of course there's intense moments, and also because it's a girl, Linda Blair, doing all that stuff, you're just oh my god, it is very jarring.
And not being treated well on set in real life, scary shit happening for real.
That part. So yeah, The Exorcist I think is a movie that scares me. I also think the Suspiria remake is actually very well done and I think genuinely scary because of the tone. Anybody who gets the tone of horror, because it's a very specific tone, I think that movie does a really, really good job at just mining the tone of it and unleashing it at us in a really scary way. It's fantastic. I don't know. Have you seen the Suspiria remake?
I've seen it. We haven't done it on the podcast, but we did the original Suspiria, and they're like tonally very different.
Ooh, and... yeah. I love the original Suspiria, but it is not scary at all. Yes.
Yeah, they're way different. Yes, and we've had it suggested, and we should do it because it is.
Is Dakota Johnson in the Suspiria remake?
Yeah.
Is
that very, very great.
With like a forehead thing or like a hairline
change. With a forehead
thing? Wait, doesn't she have like a hairline change or something? I feel like her face is looking very funny in the Suspiria remake.
I don't recall.
Am I wrong? I don't know. You might be right, but I just don't know what a forehead thing.
She might just like not have bangs in it. Maybe she just doesn't have bangs in it. And she always has bangs.
This is, you've exactly tapped into Dakota Johnson, real person's biggest. Like, she's got a forehead thing, right?
Maybe I'm misremembering, but
one
I feel like
one of those things her
something.
Friends tells her. No one noticed. No one's thinking about your forehead. Your forehead is normal.
Do you think anyone will say anything about my forehead throughout
this
movie?
No one's going to say anything about your forehead. That would be crazy. Your forehead is so normal.
Thank you, Tilda. Thank you, Tilda Swinton. Thank you. You're such a good friend.
Oh, my God. Okay, and so this movie in particular is one of your all-time favorites. I will say you mentioned Betsy. Every single time we've had Betsy on, I think she's like, we could do Killer Clown. Like, she never picks it, but it's always up there.
Yes, yeah. I mean, this is the sweet spot to me. I mean, the subgenre of horror that I really gravitate towards is the sort of campy, specifically 80s practical effect horror comedies. Like, those are my favorite. Basket Case is truly one of my favorite movies of all time. It's like a gortastic feast of just bad acting, really great practical effects, and just a lot of blood everywhere. And Night of the Creeps is also another one that I really love. But I think Killer Clowns holds a higher place for me because it taps into my personal aesthetic of the Memphis design. And Memphis design is sort of just like, think like Pee-wee's Playhouse, like a lot of bright colors, a lot of squiggles, you know, a lot of like weird patterned wallpaper stuff.
Fun.
So that's...
Well, this director is the director of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, right?
Right.
I think
it
is.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
So
So that tracks.
There's a lot of that. I mean, and this movie popularized the sort of Memphis aesthetic in a lot of movies. And it's also great. It's got clowns that kill people. You know,
oh, so crazy.
You people do have a very legitimate fear of clowns. Yeah. I love clowns. I think clowns are great. But do you have a fear of clowns? Does anyone here have a fear of clowns?
Have we ever talked about this before? I don't think we do.
No.
I mean, I don't specifically have one.
I famously think Pennywise is hot. So
yeah,
right.
We
which
have
one?
Talked about Pennywise.
Tim Curry or
Bill Skarsgård?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he actually can get it. Yeah, that Pennywise king, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, okay.
And now he
okay, go on. Okay.
Has a forehead thing.
Yeah,
that's a definite forehead thing.
Emily out here calling everybody on their forehead game. Y'all better watch
that's
out.
That's a forehead thing if I ever saw one.
Y'all better watch out.
I don't like it when a clown is creepy, like the clown in fucking Hell House LLC, that freaky little guy. Like,
yeah.
I don't like that. But clowns as an idea, clowns out in the world, no, they don't bother me.
Right, right. Yeah,
no.
Yeah. But yeah, this movie is great because it is a funny movie with, I think, some very scary elements to it. I mean, the practical effects of the clown alone is incredible.
It's fun also because it's so like funny and silly a lot of the time that when it gets to a part that's like genuinely disturbing, it like hits so much harder. Like there's one moment that we'll talk about, but that I was like, oh my God.
Yes.
Like it really surprised me when it got like actually upsetting.
Because what it does really well is it really explores this idea of what if killer clowns from outer space? You know what I mean? What if there were clowns that killed people? And it's like, oh yeah, they would have like a cotton candy cocoon moment. Like, oh yes, they would make a, you know what I mean? It's a true exploration of the idea, which is like done really well. Cause,
totally.
and it's treated silly, you know? So the expectation of the victims, it's like, these are clowns. Like no one is actually scared of these clowns at first. They look at these clowns and they're like, haha, what are you gonna do? you know, punch my block off is a quote from one of the scenes. And yes, a true decapitation happens in the movie. And you're like, oh, shit. Oh, my God, that's possible here. You know, these clowns can really create havoc and chaos. So that's yeah. why I love this movie.
Oh, I can't wait. Okay, so we're going to watch this trailer. I can't wait to see what these clowns look like. I got no idea. I have no frame of reference.
Oh my God, I'm excited.
Just you wait. Just you wait.
I also don't even know. I can like kind of picture the Memphis design, but I don't really know what that, and so I'm very excited to see that in action too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let's do it.
Freaking have a look.
It was a night like any other night. Then something happened.
You see that?
Something different.
It's no shooting star.
Why here? Why now? Why clowns? They've been knocking them dead all over the universe.
What are you gonna do? Knock my block off?
Soon they'll be doing it at a theater near you.
Killer clowns from outer space.
Maybe they're just cruising through the galaxy and stopped here for a bite to eat.
You don't need a police, pal. You need a psychiatrist.
Uh-oh.
They want to play games? They're messing with the wrong guy.
What are you in for?
Killer clowns from outer space. It's crazy.
I wasn't prepared. I was not prepared.
It's crazy is the best ending line.
That's the tag. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah, the guy who did the voiceover for that trailer is not scary at all. So it's kind of funny to have the contrast of him.
Very funny.
Those clowns are terrifying, though. They
look
scary looking
clowns.
Yeah, don't like those clowns.
Yeah, they're great. Also, like the trailer, it's everything is a little darker than it actually is, so you kind of can't see the clowns very well. But they look terrifying. They're very terrifying. Also, the song from the trailer it's by a punk band. What are they called? Wait, hold on. They're called the Dickies. Yes, they're called the Dickies, and they wrote that song without getting a script at all. They were just like, can you write a song for a movie called Killer Clowns from Outer Space? And they wrote an entire song. It's a great song. I recommend everyone listening to it. It's very, very fun. And it's an homage to, I think this whole movie is an homage to like the 1950s horror movies of like The Blob. It starts very similar to The Blob. And even in the Blob with Steve McQueen, there is an original song called The Blob, and it's very campy too. So yeah.
Hell yeah.
Shout out to the Dickies for writing Killer Clowns from Outer Space without knowing a lick of the plot of this movie.
Very fun. Wow. Okay. I'm ready to know.
Yeah, let's fucking get into it.
You know that scene in horror movies where someone's alone at home, cooking or whatever, watching TV, and a killer is outside watching them through their huge, open, enormous, completely clear windows that for some reason have no blinds or coverings on them whatsoever? Don't let that be you. You need privacy. You need 3-Day Blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of custom window treatments in the U.S., and right now they are running a buy one, get one 50% off deal. Just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no obligation quote the same day. And if you're not very handy, that's not a problem because the expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros. I feel like sometimes when you hear the word blinds, you might be thinking of broken, loud, dirty dorm room blinds, but I was just looking at 3-Day Blinds' Instagram, and I can assure you that is not what we are talking about here. These are good-looking blinds, shades, shutters, etc. They have thousands of options for any budget or style, no matter your unique need, whether it's motorization, to home automation, room darkening, or child safety. They're going to have something that's going to look gorgeous in your home, and it's going to keep those prying eyes away so you don't have to live in your very own horror movie. Right now, you can get 3-Day Blinds buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. For a free, no-charge, no-obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/2scary. That's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to 3dayblinds.com/2scary. One last time, that's the number 3daiblinds.com/2scary.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Okay, so so we see, we open up, and it's a small town, you know, and not a lot of stuff is happening. You see teenagers just sort of hanging out. There's one teenager who's like holding a bag of groceries but slipping a noticeable can that says the word beer on it, so you know he's a bad boy. Even though he's wearing these like very bright red glasses. But there's a cop there that's looking at him a little distressingly, like, these kids are gonna cause mayhem, you know? So you'd think this part was gonna be a big deal, but it didn't. It was just a little aside. So then we sort of move into this, like, I would call it like a makeout point, Sammy, right?
Called Top of the World, which there was a Top of the World where I grew up, and it wasn't actually a makeout point, but it was very pretty. It was just like a, you know, up on top of a hill.
Wait, so no one went out there to make out?
I certainly didn't.
Maybe somebody did.
I'm sure somebody did.
But that place was, you know, where you would go and you would make out. And then we're introduced to our lead, Mike Tobacco.
Best name.
Oh my God.
Yes, exactly. Great name. And his girlfriend, Debbie Stone, and they're sort of making out on top of a raft. I don't remember why that's... I do remember clocking it and being like, why?
Yeah, they're no, I don't on, think
they're
it's
in
explained.
The car in the back seat, but there's a raft underneath them where they're just sort of making out. And I was like, well, I don't really understand. But anyway, so that's happening. They're, you know, they're just like talking, sort of like getting to know each other, not getting to know each other, but like, you know, falling in love. And then you meet the two brothers. I forgot what their names are.
Rich and Paul Terenzi, the Terenzi brothers.
The Terenzi brothers, who are, they run the ice cream truck, and they're sort of there, for lack of a better word, cock blocking Top of the World by being funny. They're the funny guys, you know what I mean? Yeah. They're two twins, and they're trying to get some as well. So they bring these two ladies who look like moms, who look like straight up moms, and they're all supposed to be teenagers. And but the two ladies are straight up being like, "We're here. Listen, we're here for the ice cream. We're not here to have sex with you nerds." You know,
they bribed them with free ice
we're
cream,
truck, baby.
It's funny because, you know, yeah, they are there for the ice cream, and they're like, "He's like, oh yeah, don't worry. You know, we're not here to take off, you know, we're not here to take off your top." And one of the ladies is like, "And we don't intend to." And to me, that's very funny. But, you know, they cause a lot of mayhem. They're very silly. They're very silly guys. And also, they do have a Kyoto Brothers vibe to them, because the Kyoto Brothers are these like three wise guys They're the ones who wrote and directed Killer Clowns. Three wise guys from the Bronx, you know what I mean? So the two ice cream truck brothers are like very like, hey, I'm selling ice cream over here. You know what I mean? They're the fun guys, you know what I mean? But also big nerds. So anyway, while that's happening, they see a giant sort of comet go by, as you saw in the trailer. You know, they're like, ooh, what is that? So then we cut to a farmer, just like a yokel there, very much in the style of The Blob and Creepshow, who's hanging out with his bloodhound, and he's like, oh my god, what is this? This is Halley's Comet, because Halley's Comet was a big thing back in the 80s, and it's like, oh my god, this town is gonna be famous. So he goes over to check it out, and then he sees it's a giant circus tent, like a high top, and he's like, doesn't bat an eye, doesn't clock it as weird. He's like, I love the circus, what's all this, you know? And then he gets zapped. I think he gets zapped by something. I don't even remember.
Yeah, like a little hole zaps through the tent, and we kind of see the silhouettes of clowns inside being naughty, like zapping them up. And yeah, they both get zapped. We don't see him and his dog. That's the them. And the dog gets zapped first, and then he gets so mad that he can't find his dog, and he says, what in tarnation's going on here? I'll tear this tent apart with my bare hands. Because he can't find his dog.
It's a lot of overacting. I mean, honestly, that overacting is happening in the very beginning of the movie.
We're setting the tone.
Also, the dog dies in a movie. I mean, that's pretty potent, you know, for a horror movie. Yeah. That's nuts. So anyway, they go back, and Debbie sort of razzing Mike and being like, why don't we go and check it out? And Mike's like, I don't know, I don't think that's a good idea. And she's like, come on, let's go on an adventure. So she's pushing him to go, and then they both go to check it out, and then they also see the high top, and then they go inside because they're like, oh, what's all this? So they check it out, and then you see this like amazing, I mean, the set design of this movie is like,
it's really
out of
cool.
this world, pun intended, and it's very cool. But then they see the clowns, you know, the clowns are there, and they have these guns, and they shoot popcorn out of them, and they're like totally shocked that they're the popcorn. What are you talking? And it sticks to their back, you know what I mean? They're able to escape, you know, but they're also very weirded out at like what's happening here, you know?
There's like a part where the inside the tent, there's like the little cotton candy cocoons. They're like, as they're exploring, they see these big pods, human-sized pods that are like pink fluff balls. And Mike says, like, this must be where they hang the cotton candy out to dry before they ship it off.
Like, yeah, Mike is a little dense in the head. Yeah, he's sort of just your...
Debbie's like, I don't think that's how it works. I don't think that's how they make...
just hang it out in the air, and then we eat it.
Also, this is a clown's job. A clown's job is to, you know, ship out the cotton candy to everyone.
Yeah, not the cotton candy. The clowns are... really pretty managerial roles at a circus.
Absolutely, yes. They are aspirational. Yes, they're the aspirational characters in this movie. But then the clowns are sort of just getting out of the tent and sort of trying to find them. So what one of the clowns does is creates a balloon animal of a dog.
It's so
a balloon
good.
Animal of a dog. And then the dog is sniffing out the humans. So they're tracking them. It's a very funny moment.
Fun.
Yeah, it's a very funny moment. But then they're officially out. They've been released into this poor
the killer
town.
Killer clowns.
Oh no!
Or out on the town.
Oh no!
And I don't know how you felt about the voices of these clowns, Sammy. But they have they don't speak English. They have like the alien sort of gibberish language.
We always like end our episodes with a voice, and so I'm always in watching horror movies trying to be like, what voice can we do to say goodbye at the end? And these clown voices are real tricky. Going to be tricky to do because they are speaking just like gibberish. But it's like it reminded me of the aliens in Spice World. You know how they're like, blah, blah, blah.
That's exactly what they sounded like.
I haven't seen Spice World in so long.
I don't even remember. I don't remember if there were aliens in it.
Oh, Spice World rules. And yes, of course there are aliens in it.
Of course.
Because they are big fans of the Spice Girls, right?
Yes.
Like Spice Girls are so famous. Like even aliens love them.
Naturally. So, yeah, so then we cut to, there's the two cops. There's like a sort of like, what do you call the head cop? Top cop.
We have had this exact
conversation. What's the hierarchy of the police?
Sheriff.
We
literally called someone a top cop for like a whole episode. Because who knows?
We couldn't remember the word.
I have no idea. Okay, so there is a top cop. He's older and sort of hates teenagers. That's his whole thing. He's like, teenagers are out to like, out to cause havoc. It's a weekend, you know, they're all. And then there's like a younger cop who is
who used to date Dave
mm-hmm. who used to date Debbie, so mm-hmm. you know, a little bit of drama in there. So so the top cop catches these two punks. One of them weirdly looks like a goth Tom Hanks, in my opinion.
Interesting.
Yeah, they go to the college and they're like, why are you out drinking outside of campus? You could be drinking on campus or whatever. So then they put him in jail for truly no reason, ACAB all the way. you know?
I don't like you. Go to jail.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Very that. So then Debbie's sort of freaking out and she's like, oh my God, what are we going to do? She's like, I know exactly who we should go to. We should go talk to Dave, my ex. He is a cop and he is my ex, Mike Tobacco. Don't get mad.
And Mike is like, don't get mad, Mike Tobacco.
He's like, oh, okay, I guess so. So, you know, they go, but also the clowns have found a convenience store, a pharmacy.
Yeah, yeah. Both of those things-ish.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a small town, so maybe it's a combination.
Like a Walgreens type of situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a small Walgreens.
Right, like a Walgreens. So these clowns show up, and this poor pharmacist is looking at them sideways like, what the hell is going on here, right?
and his performance. Excellent.
Wow, chef's kiss. And these clowns are, you know, they're causing a lot of havoc. Because, you know, they're looking at all the stuff and being like, we don't have this in our planet, you know? So they're looking at, like, the powdered and they're sneezing all over the powder. There's some... What's the other thing that they use?
I can't remember.
Anyway, hilarity ensues. they shoot a gun and they trap one of the girls who's in the pharmacy into one of those cotton ball cocoon things. And that's when the pharmacist is like, he's like, okay, I need to call the cops because obviously that's what you do. And so the cops have been getting a lot of phone calls from people being like, there's clowns attacking me. And he thinks it's a prank. He's like, all these kids are going to, you know, they're driving me crazy here. And then we see like a little montage of the clowns causing havoc. And they range from one of them opening up and he's a pizza delivery person. Now, these aliens don't speak English, but they do know the word for pizza.
Pizza.
That one is universal.
Yeah, exactly. And then so one of them opens it and they open the carton and out pops a killer clown, really menacing looking killer clown, and then mm-hmm. shoots them, and then they turn into the, you know, the cocoon. They've been cocooned. Another one is that they get chocolates or something like that. Oh, clown shows up, and one of the clowns has a little puppet of a clown holding a gun, so it's like very funny. And the lady opens the door and she's like, oh, this is so sweet, and turns to her husband like, did you do this for me? Like, that's a normal thing people do.
Did you get me clowns?
And before she knows it, she's turned into another one of those cocoon things, you know. So they're out here zapping everybody, you know. Truly hide your wives, hide your kids. They turn in everybody into cotton candy. So then they go talk to Dave, right? And they're explaining everything. Dave doesn't believe them at first, but...
I think he like agrees to go with them to check it out. Whereas the top cop is like, this is bullshit. I'm not wasting my time. He says, go ahead, Dave. They can make you look like a dummy. They're not going to make me look like a dummy. And the way he...
I look smart.
The way that he said it really reminded me of Detective Crashmore and I Think You Should Leave. Do you remember that line where he's like... they might kill you, but there's no fucking way they're killing me. It's a specific reference only for anyone who's seen I Think You Should Leave, but he has those vibes.
Yes, very that. they go back, but here's the thing. All the cars are gone. They've been abandoned. I mean, there's cars there, but no one's in them.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The tent, the circus tent, aka their spaceship, gone.
No. Wow.
So David's like, clowns. What's the meaning of this? This is suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But instead, mm-hmm. they go. So he arrests Mike Tobacco, and okay. on their way there.
Again, I don't like you. You're under arrest.
Exactly. Very cop logic. You know.
Yeah.
And so they look at one of the trunks and they open the door, and there's a lot of pink stuff in the car. It's looking like a lot of cotton candy, aka spider webs. But in the spider webs, we see red glasses from one of our teenagers from earlier on the movie, who was drinking
the beer drinker.
The beer drinker, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so Dave is a little suspicious. He's like, wait, what's the meaning of this? And Mike Tobacco's like, see, I'm not lying. This is really happening. There are killer clowns from outer space. And Dave is like, yeah, still no. So, you know, he's taking him back to the police station. So while that's happening, again, killer clowns are causing havoc. There is a bunch of people waiting outside, and then there's a clown that's just there, and he's doing finger puppetry, you know, and the people are impressed. They're like, oh wow, a bunny rabbit. And it's like very you know, very fun. And then before you know it, he does a shadow puppet of a Tyrannosaurus Rex, of a dinosaur, that eats them up in one swallow. We saw that in the trailer. So, you know, that's an iconic moment in the movie.
Man, they can do all kinds of magic.
There's so much magic.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I think they're not really, you know, clowns aren't really known for shadow puppets. At least I don't think so. But these clowns do, and their shadows come to life and swallow groups of people whole.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There's another collection of bad boys with bikes in an alleyway, and a little clown shows up in a little clown tricycle.
And these guys are
just ragging on that little clown. They're just like, oh my god, are you kidding
oh,
me
no.
And then this big burly man pushes through. He's like, goes to the little clown and he's like, can I ride this cycle? And then the clown goes, no. Which is funny. It's like, okay. And he's like, well, can I at least press the horn? And then the clown says, yes, because, okay.
Uh-oh.
So, but instead of honking the horn, he smashes the tricycle like a true monster. And so the little clown gets really mad and then jumps out of frame, jumps back in frame, and is holding boxing gloves and is trying to fight this big biker man. And then everyone's laughing. Everyone's like, ha 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 ha, this clown, what is he going to do? And that's where the infamous line, what are you going to do, knock my block off? And then, of course, the clown punches the man and his head falls clean off his body and lands in the trash, a decapitated human head. And then all the bikers are freaked out because, like, what the fuck, you know?
shit just got real. These clowns mean business.
Real. So at this point in the movie, the clowns are truly wrecking havoc, just like truly destroying this town. So
yeah, it sort of feels like they're everywhere, and I'm wondering, the cops are nowhere? Are they just in the station just hanging out?
The phones are literally ringing off the hook at the station, and the top cop is just like, these damn kids, like, he won't answer a single phone in the station.
Even if it is because of a prank, if someone gets decapitated, you gotta go check that out.
Yeah.
Not top cop. Top cop, again, hates teenagers and is convinced that teenagers are responsible for all of these pranks, all of these, like, countless amounts of phone calls, which I think, you know, you got to give it up for the teens if that is an prank.
That would be
prank,
a historic,
you know?
Prank.
Destroying well-organized
the entire
prank.
Town.
Exactly. So, you know, earlier on, you know, we saw the popcorn being thrown at our two leads. I think
They drop Debbie off at home at one point, because as Mike and Dave go to check out the site by themselves, and they're like, Debbie, you stay home. And so she goes home and, like, takes a shower. They're like, lock all the doors, don't let anybody in. But yeah,
right.
She's got a couple little pieces of popcorn on her.
Mm-hmm. Oh no.
But then while she's taking a shower, which is a classic staple thing from the 1980s horror canon, you know, you got to take a shower in these movies. And so suddenly, you know, out come these, like, clown larva worms.
Oh, gross.
That come out of these popcorn kernels. And, you know, they're wreaking havoc. Poor Debbie's terrified and scared. You know, they have sharp little teeth. Gnawing at her, you know what I mean? And the other detail is that every clown, whether it's a larva or a full-blown adult, have these big red noses. That's going to come into play later on. So just so you know, they all have noses. Mm-hmm. They all have noses.
Gross.
So then we see...
Dave and Mike, after they see the group of people get eaten by the shadow puppet dinosaur... They're like driving back to the station to go get help because Top Cop's not taking them seriously. They like call it in and he's like, no, I'm not calling backup for you. Like, I know this is the biggest prank in the world and I'm not falling for it. And so as they're like driving back to the station, they see the Terenzi brothers again.
Right. The ice cream duo
in the ice cream truck. And Mike is friends with them and is like, stop. I need to like get out and talk to them. And warn them about what's going on. And so then they split up. Dave is like, okay, I'm going to go back to the station. And Mike goes with the Terenzi brothers, who are like not taking it seriously.
No. Because it's like, wait, what do you mean killer clowns from outer space? But they don't realize that's the name of the movie. the brothers are, you know, making announcements like, oh, everyone hide, like these clowns are coming out, but they're not taking it seriously. Dave shows up to the police station to find Top Cop sort of just there. And then there's a clown. He's sitting on the lap of a clown. He's sitting on his lap, and it's very much a ventriloquist dummy vibe where the dead Top Cop is, you know, there's like little slits of blood. And he is, yeah, so then the clown starts attacking Dave. Dave ends up shooting the clown on the nose, which makes the clown sort of freak out, and then it explodes. So they're like,
Aim for the nose.
That's how we get rid of these clowns. You gotta hit him in the nose.
Wait, Sammy, have we gotten to the part that you thought was really scary yet? Or no, is it coming?
It's the ventriloquist part.
I was gonna say, that's really gnarly.
It's because, yeah. Okay, it's so gross. It's because afterwards, he like is making the cop talk and it says, don't worry, Dave. We just want to kill you or something like that. Like it's a slow scene. And then the clown pulls his hand out of presumably the cop's asshole and whole body for like back. I don't know. Like however he was puppeteering him, the clown pulls out his hand and then it's like covered in blood. And he just like shakes it off and it's like slap. Ew, it's so gross.
Oh my god.
And then the cop like collapses on the ground and it's just I just was like, oh my god, his whole arm was inside of that man.
That's really
nasty. That man was a husk now of it's not Top Cop anymore.
Top Cop.
R.I.P. Top Cop. More Top Cop. Yes. And no more that clown. That clown is dead.
It got
killed. So then
we know how to kill him.
We know how to kill him. Exactly. They go back to Debbie and the clowns have grown up, have stopped being larvae and they're like little clowns now. And they're sort of attacking her. they save her. They don't save her. No, because they
get her.
Trap her. Right.
Yep. The clowns get her. They trap
her. Cocooner?
It's in a different... It's like a balloon this time. It's like a yellow balloon that they zap her into.
So it's a little different.
Uh-huh. And they carry her off. And at this point, Mike has convinced the brothers to take him to Debbie's to go help her. But they're not in time. And so they see her in the balloon. And so they like know what's up. And there's a part that's very funny where... The way that Mike is able to convince the brothers to take him to Debbie's house is because they're like, "What? We're not doing that. Like, no, we got ice cream to sell. We haven't sold any ice cream tonight." And
oh, that's a big thing for them. It's like they want to sell
ice
cream.
We need to sell
our
ice cream.
Seriously.
It's our passion. Yeah.
And then they're like, "Well, are there any girls? Does Debbie have any roommates? Like, because that's their
are
other
they hungry?
Passion.
Do they have a sweet tooth? Like, what's going on with them?"
That's what they say. He says, "Yeah, there's two. She has two hot roommates with big boobs, and they love ice cream." And they're like, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Let's go.
They're tailor-made for you, dude. The only thing excellent bigger than their writing. Tits is their appetite for sweet treats.
It's so good.
So then they follow them to the local amusement park, which is where the spaceship is now, because mm-hmm. I guess the middle of nowhere was not good enough for these aliens. So they go to the amusement park. They're like, okay, this feels more at home. So then they go in, and then they're inside the actual spaceship / circus tent of the Killer Clowns from Outer Space. But through this adventure, the twins fall through a ball pit. They fall in a ball pit, and then they look. I need to find a picture of this and show you. This is my favorite part of the entire movie.
It's so
they
funny.
Find two female clowns, and it is very funny because they look up and it's like two lady clowns, and they're like, "Do you like ice cream or something like
they
that?"
Say,
right?
Are you Debbie's roommates?
Oh yeah, no. You Debbie's
oh my
roommates.
God.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Wait. I'm going to find this clip.
Are you Debbie's
because
roommates?
It is Wait. Very, it's worth watching.
It's so funny.
Also, just side note, ball pits are very scary. I feel like as
Ew,
a child, I was very scared.
Too.
Very scared.
There's a Jackass skit where there's a snake, like a boa constrictor in a ball pit that they
oh
did in real life. And it always stressed me out the most.
No way.
Yeah. And they got, if you ever, you should honestly watch that Jackass. It's really scary. Actually, maybe don't, but they get bit real crazy by this like enormous snake like a bunch of times. It's Steve-O and Johnny Knoxville, I think. It's
oh
so
my
crazy.
God.
It's so
that
crazy.
Snake was fucking pissed off.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Really?
So ball pits are scary.
Why do people like doing that? I never liked ball pits ever.
Children like them, I guess, but I feel like I never did as a kid. I was always convinced I was gonna, because you know, quicksand when you're a kid is such a thing. It's like, what's the difference between quicksand and a ball pit? Like, I'm gonna die in that True. Ball pit for sure.
True, yeah.
I think maybe that's part of the fun is like, oh, I'm like, I'm not swimming, but I'm not on land. Like a little bit of both.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know. Okay, so I found the. I found a GIF. How do I show it to you?
Wait.
The boobs.
They blow up.
The boobs.
They get bigger. Oh my god. That is
Are
so
Are you Debbie's
funny.
Roommates?
Yeah, to be in a ball pit and then to get up and see these two clowns and then to respond. I mean, the twins are the brothers are unwell. They're unwell. To assume that that's Debbie's roommates, but I guess they were into them. I guess I don't know.
They were into their boobs, huge boobs.
They checked the boxes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. Are they hot? Do they like ice cream? Check. Amazing. Yeah. So then they find the room, the big room where all of the sort of cotton candy bodies are, mm-hmm. And very Invasion of the Body Snatcher style. Mm-hmm. They're just like, oh my gosh, are these people? So then one of the clowns walks in, they all hide, and one of the clowns takes a fun straw, you know, one of these loopy-doopy straws. Puts it in a crazy straw, that's what they're called. Thank you, Sammy. He stabs one of the cotton candy bulbs and then drinks their blood crazy straw.
They're like liquefied inside, but the shot is so funny because this straw is the craziest crazy straw you've ever seen. It's like probably if you straightened it would be 10 feet long. Like it's
absolutely
it's really ridiculous, and the shot just like pans up slowly along the whole, it's a really long shot because it takes the liquid so long to get to his lips.
The blood takes forever to get there.
God, it's
great.
So good.
It's great. It's an endurance shot. Absolutely. You're like, oh God.
Wow.
Sammy, you could have taken a nap, woken up, and still be in the same
scene.
Yeah,
good nap portion of the movie.
Absolutely. So at that point, they're freaking out, and then they get caught. All of these clowns show up. And it looks like, oh, it's the end of our heroes. But
they've
then
rescued
suddenly,
Debbie, too. They've got her out of her balloon.
Yes, popped the balloon and she's totally fine.
Yep.
She's not liquefied in any way. So then the ice cream truck shows up and the brothers are here to distract the clowns. So while they're trying to get away from the circus, this is where we see the big Clownzilla, right?
Clownzilla.
Yes.
A big mama clown.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Very so aliens.
It's very aliens. Yes, very, very xenomorph queen. So it starts out as a marionette puppy that then gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it is the coolest animatronic. I think it's an animatronic. I don't know. It might be a person in a costume. But it is the coolest looking clown ever. It looks like a literal monster, but also a clown. And it is gigantic. It's huge. So they're trying to escape. They're trying to escape from the Clownzilla. The poor ice cream truck is completely destroyed.
It explodes.
It explodes, yes, and with the brothers inside. So you're like, oh no. Yes. But this is where the clowns are like, oh, we've been found out. It's time to go. So they're about, you know, I think the spaceship sort of does this like top sort of spin.
Yeah.
It looks really cool.
Like it's a liftoff. It's starting to
take
off.
Their whole deal is like, we'll just land. Get as many people anywhere. As we can, and then be like, gotta go.
And then for food, you know, they need the food.
And the big clown came out and was basically like, we gotta go, guys. Is that what happened? What was the big clown's deal?
The big clown is there to kill the trespassers.
Oh, to kill everyone.
There's a scene between Dave, the cop, and the clown. The clown grabs the cop. It looks like, oh, this is the end of our hero, Dave. And I believe Dave grabs his badge, throws it, and it hits Clownzilla on the nose, thereby destroying.
That's all it took.
Our Clownzilla. That's all it took.
You just gotta pop that nose. Pop that nose.
You gotta
that's
pop
it.
That nose.
And not only does it kill Clownzilla, but it also destroys the spaceship in one fell swoop, you know? And so, you know, they save the day, but they're, you know, mourning the loss of the brothers. But it turns out they're fine because they hid in the freezer of the ice cream and they were safe.
Genius. They were saved by ice cream.
Not so stupid after all.
Mm-hmm.
They also are covered in like kiss marks. And they're
Debbie's roommates.
They have clearly hooked up with the two clowns. It's very funny.
Yes, honestly, not a bad night for the Terenzi brothers.
I would say a complete win.
Yeah, they had a great night.
Yeah, had a great night. Their whole goal was to find girls that love ice cream.
Mm-hmm. They did it.
And would sleep with them, and they found it. They found aliens. That they could hook up with. So it was
Congrats,
a win for them.
Guys.
You know, there's fireworks after the destruction of the spaceship and the end.
What a happy ending.
Happy ending.
It's a happy ending. It's a happy ending. Yes.
And apparently there's been a sequel in the works since 1988.
Oh my God.
And it's, I guess, been real tough to get off the ground. But there's like an article from 2018 where they're like still trying to make it happen. So,
really?
If anyone has any info on the Killer Clowns from Outer Space
2022
sequel, let us know.
Wild that they haven't tried to make it. It's such a cult classic. Like,
I know.
People would love it.
It feels like a slam dunk to me.
I know.
I would honestly love to see a 2022 version of this.
People would probably really like it.
Now, question for y'all. What's the take? What's the take of the remake? Are we doing a sort of slapstick-y version of it? Are we, like, you know, paying homage to the silly campy part of it, or are we like really trying to do scary Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Well, as someone who doesn't like scary movies, I personally feel like one that's on the funnier side would be more profitable. I feel like this movie, if it took itself too seriously, would lose like a lot of its charm and a lot of what makes people like it a lot.
I think you dial both sides up. I think you keep it really slapstick and bright colored and funny, but I think you make the violence like truly horrifying.
Yeah.
Like I think you show a like full decapitation. I think you show the ventriloquist person. I think you like see the liquefaction. I think you make it like
gorier.
So gory, like fucking gnarly. Right. But also, like, it's clowns.
Look at Emily, this taste for blood.
I wouldn't like it. I just think that's what you do.
Emily's secretly bloodthirsty. She doesn't want us to know, but she's secretly bloodthirsty.
I'm secretly bloodthirsty. That's why I do the podcast.
Also, the tagline for this movie, I just got to call it out because we talked about Alien, which the tagline in Alien is, "In space, no one can hear you scream." The tagline for this movie is, "In space, no one can eat ice cream."
Stop it. Stop it.
Oh, it's too good.
Okay, so they knew what they were doing.
They knew what they were doing.
But it's true. It's true. Space ice cream is just powder.
It's true.
It's not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same. It's not the same.
Do you remember when it had a really big moment, though, in our childhood? People were like, space ice cream. It's kind of
like
cool.
All space foods. It was like, give me food.
Everything space themed had a huge moment.
And then it died out. Like, I mean, it's
then
just
it died
like,
out.
Yeah.
Because it's actually
gross.
Wait,
no, this is just dust.
Yeah, wow. The novelty wore off quick.
Exactly.
Pretty quick, yeah, because it was bad. We finally learned about this freaking movie. I can't believe it. A real milestone, I think.
Yeah, I've been excited to see this one for a while because, I hadn't seen it. I'm so happy that I have now. It's so fun.
I mean, listen, what was your take on this movie? I mean,
I'd say that in general.
Because it's not like horror.
Yeah. So we haven't covered a lot of movies like this. I feel like 80s horror is a big gap in what we've like talked about. We've done a couple, but it's, I think, partially because they're not as scary. Maybe we covered them less because I just think, probably most people could handle this movie. Like, it's very fun and funny. And like, I forget that is a subgenre of horror, and so it was like a nice little reminder, like, there's like this whole part of horror that's like very fun and silly, and
absolutely
I think also reminder
for I think like there's why I love 80s horror so much is because I think the self-awareness is really cool, and it to me there's an idea of like a punk rockness of like Killer Clowns from Outer Space feels like a kind of a fun punk rock take on the horror trope. I think Return of the Living Dead is also that. It's like very silly. The plot of it is so silly.
Right.
But again, like you were saying, there are moments where you're just like, whoa, you know, like the ventriloquist part would actually be terrifying. And by seeing these clowns, there's something about this uncanny valley of these like clown puppets that are so impressive and so cool and like a little unsettling. But that's why.
Well, that's part of it too, right? Is like the fact that they literally made clowns, like they're all practical effects, and so it's like a physical thing that exists in the world. If they remade it, they would need to do practical clowns again.
Absolutely.
They couldn't be like weird CGI clowns.
Yep. No, we don't want to see no CGI clowns up in here.
No, no, thank you.
No,
no,
no, thank you. No, thank you.
But yeah, overall, it made me want to watch more 80s horror. That was like my biggest takeaway was like, oh, right. I like forget that I haven't seen a lot of these classic 80s horror movies.
Ooh,
so,
Oscar, what do you think? What else needs to be on our list if we're going down that road?
You have to watch Return of the Living Dead.
Okay.
Must.
Okay.
Must.
We're adding it to the list.
It is a perfect, I think it's the perfect balance between funny and scary. It is like 50-50. I think Killer Clowns is like leans closer to the funny. It's probably I would say 80-20 funny scary. Return of the Living Dead is 50-50. Like actually, it's a zombie movie. So, and the effects are incredible, but it's also very funny too.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna watch it.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah.
I fully recommend Return of the Living Dead. It's so good.
What a fun world to enter into. Well, here we go.
We're doing it.
Next journey for you, Sammy.
Yeah, Oscar, you've opened up a whole new world for us.
Ooh,
thank you.
Yay! Oh my gosh. How fun. How exciting. Yeah.
Oscar. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was so great.
And I feel like there's lots of exciting stuff coming up for you. And what would you like our listeners to look for you in, listen to, watch, give us
everything? Yes. Okay. So I host a couple of podcasts. I host a Disney podcast called Inside the Disney Vault, where I watch I've done this for 4 years, this podcast, where I was on a journey of watching every single Disney animated movie in chronological order. And I host it with my friends Rachel Chapman and Claire Logren. And they're both huge Disney freaks. And I am new to the, after moving to LA, realizing like, whoa, Disney Adults is a thing. And I don't really get it.
Because
I've only seen two Disney movies before I moved to LA. And so I was like, I'm going to watch every Disney animated movie. So we've done that. We've covered every single Disney movie. Wow. And then we've covered every Pixar movie. And now we are covering every single Disney Channel original movie in chronological
order. Hell yeah. Oh my gosh.
So, and we got it. We're going to have you all on. Y'all have to be guests on the podcast.
Oh my God.
Wow. Oh my God. Disney Channel original movies. Oh my God.
It's a journey. Like I've never seen a single one before the podcast. And it's.
Oh my God. What's the last one you just watched?
We just watched. What was the last one that we watched? We just watched Geek Charming. With Sarah Hyland from Modern Family.
So these are recent.
Yeah, 2011. Yeah, we're on 2011. So, yeah.
So you already did the like 90s ones that
we
grew up with.
We did the classic ones. Yeah, you know, 13th Year. Smart House.
Luck of the Irish.
Yes.
Xenon.
Smart House. Yes, you love you a smart house.
Smart House.
It's worth saying twice.
We can't forget Smart House.
And of course, the iconic Smart House. So, yeah, so you could follow that podcast at Inside the Disney Vault on Instagram and ITDV Podcast on Twitter. It's very fun. I also host a music video podcast called Podcast Kill the Video Star that I host with my dearest friend, Manu Agapian. And we are on a journey to find the definitive top 100 music videos of all time. And the way that it works is every week I nominate a music video, Mono nominates a music video, and then we talk about a music video that's in the zeitgeist, or a guest comes in and nominates their favorite music video, and people on Instagram vote for their favorite. The person with the video with the most votes gets to move on to the top 100 music videos list. So it is very democratic, and some music videos I can't believe got votes, but that's the magic of the podcast. But you can follow us on Instagram at Podcast Kill the Video Star, and you can follow me at Ozzymo on Instagram and Twitter, OZZYMO, to find out what I'm working on. So yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Those are great ideas for podcasts. I love both of those.
I'm having such a blast. It's so great. We're actually halfway through the podcast. We already have our top 50 ranked already.
Wow. Holy shit.
So, yeah. Any guesses as to what is number one?
Toxic.
Ooh, that's...
Surprisingly, no.
Surprisingly, it's toxic on the list?
It's not. It's not on the list. I know.
What are even famous music videos? I like don't even know.
Thriller.
I'm so bad at
this. But two Britney Spears videos are on the list.
Thank God.
Yes.
Thank God.
Baby One More Time?
Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus?
No. No, Slave for You is in the top, I think, in number 3 or 4. So it's up there.
Yeah, Slave for You is.
Wow. And number one is Madonna's Vogue.
Yep.
That's the number one video.
List is getting things right.
Oh, it's legit. It's, you know, it's legit. As much as, it's legit.
It's legit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Democracy works.
Democracy works.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Okay, so listeners, check out Oscar's podcast. Check him out online so you can see what he's up to. And this was such a treat.
What a blast. I had such a great time. Thank you so much for having me. This is so great.
Should we do our clown voice?
What do these clowns sound like? help me out.
Okay. They're like...
You sound like the Greek lady.
Oscar, can we hear your impression of the clown?
Yeah. It's actually quite adorable. They're like, it's like... Pizza!
two different interpretations of that voice. What that one sort of sounded like Minions, which is what I was imagining.
Yeah, I guess it is kind of similar to Minions.
Like Minion-y.
Yeah, you're right. Yes.
But like Minions go like
actually. You know?
It's like Minions.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Who's to say that Minions are part of the Killer Clown family?
Same universe.
Same universe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You never. Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's how we get the sequel going because people love Minions.
That's the trick.
So you sort of a crossover situation.
It's the birth of the Minions. They're actually aliens from the Killer Clown planet.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Well, great.
Okay. So here we go. And I'm going to say things in that voice is.
That is so crazy. That was so good. I'm actually astounded.
Yeah, Tim, you committed.
I am astounded.
I mean, that was incredible.
Stop. Stop. I'm shocked. I really thought it was not going to be good.
Pulled it off.
I understood you.
Right?
Like, what?
Do I speak another language?
Do we all speak? Do we all speak?
I understood that.
Bilingual?
Clown alien?
Thank you, my friends, for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you had fun hanging with us, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at TSDW Podcast. And if you're interested in things like bonus episodes, video trailer reactions, and other cool content, head on over to patreon.com/TSDW Podcast. All right, we love you all forever and ever, starting a while ago and continuing into eternity. Adios.